Hello, I am Feige Lieberman. Welcome to the ADHD friendly way to organize your home. In this series, you will learn how to get to grips with your clutter and how to organize with your ADHD. I will take you on an audio tour around my home. You will learn how I keep my home clutter-free and organized, yes, even with my ADHD. Check out the expanded video series, including this episode on read.com, the ADHD-friendly way to organize your home. Now, let's begin. Organizing your home is a two-step process. The first step is parting with your clutter. The second step is organizing, setting up systems so that your home is organized. We're going to focus on the first part, parting with your clutter. This always comes first, before the organizing part, always. Do you have a room full of clutter, a cupboard full of clothes that you don't wear, lots of papers piled sky high, fill in the blanks? What does the word clutter mean? Clutter means any items that we have in our home or our office, or a garage, or tucked away somewhere in your house that hasn't seen the light of day in 50 years, but that doesn't serve a purpose anymore for you. It served a purpose once upon a time, however now it doesn't serve any useful purpose. That's called clutter. Clients tell me, oh, I need this item, I use it once a year. That is not clutter. If it is genuinely used once in a while, it's not called clutter, and there's ways how we're going to store those items. I hear from my clients the whole time, and it happens to me as well. How do we part with our clutter? Now, through my experience with clients, I've seen three main reasons why we find it challenging to part with our clutter. So, think of a certain area in your home that is called cluttered. One reason is simple. Technical. We need to know how. We don't know the method of how to do it. Like everything in life, we need to know how to part with our clutter. We need to know the principles. The second reason is decisions. Decisions are hard. When I was training as an ADHD coach and the head of the ADHD coaching school was talking about how he perceives paperwork sorting, and he has ADHD himself. He said every single paper that he had to look through represented a decision. It meant he had to force himself to focus and think and decide. And this lies at the heart of why it's so hard for many of us to part with our clutter. Because we have to decide. Decisions. Now, this can be grouped into two main ideas. The first one is a poor working memory challenge, which we talked about in the previous video. If we cannot hold more than one item in the forefront of our minds at once, we're going to have a challenge deciding. If we can't remember what we bought that item for, if we can't remember the use of the item, we're going to have trouble deciding. If we can't remember the steps that we took in order to come to that decision to buy the item, we're going to have that doubting, floating feeling, and we're going to say, you know what, I'll keep it, because I'm not sure what the purpose is of that item. So that is one main idea about decision. The other one is this: perfection. We want the perfect solution. Think of a triangle. The top of the triangle, it says time. This corner of the triangle, it says effort. And the last corner, money. Whenever we have to decide on something, whatever it is, we have to usually give up on one of those three: time, effort, or money. The perfectionists in this world want to reach all three corners always, and they're setting themselves up for failure. whenever I have to decide, I by now automatically think, which of those three am I going to be happy to give up on? And with each decision, the answer is going to be something else. So we could call it perfectionism, or we could call it unrealistic thinking. Not thinking clearly, not thinking with one's head screwed on the right way. I had a client, she had a tiny house, and she wanted to keep all the clothes from her six daughters, and she didn't want to part with any of them, and she wanted to find more space. And I told her, darling, there isn't more space. You're going to have to decide. Either you move out or the clothes move out. You can't live in this home with all these clothes. So she wanted to reach all three corners of the triangle. So let's recap. Three main reasons why it's hard for us to get to part with our clutter. Technical know-how, perfectionism, and working memory. As we go through the sessions, we'll be talking about more of them, but those are the three main ones. There is another one. Anxiety. Do you know anyone who is a chronic hoarder? They have now recognized that hoarding is a separate mental health condition. One of the reasons that we hoard is it's an answer response to anxiety. Now, this is an extra reason because it's not such a common reason. I find this with my ASD clients, my Asperger clients. This is a big one, anxiety. So when we have stress, when we have failures, when life gets difficult, some people respond by hoarding. Let me share the following example with you. I had a client, a woman in her 50s, and she definitely had some Asperger or ASD traits. And her home was full of clutter. She had a tea set, which is one teacup and a saucer and a little pot, a little teapot. And she was saying, yeah, she bought it in this place, and it's really cute. She was telling me how gorgeous it is. And it was gorgeous. I said, why are you keeping it? She says, it keeps me company. Those with ASD, they can have high anxiety. And it can be hard to interact with people. So their objects give them comfort. And she actually told me that she was crying when she had to have when she had the prospect of having to let in the gas man to read the gas meter in her front hall. So, when some people are anxious, they hoard. The items keep them company. They are comforting. And actually, this client, her home resembled a cave. She was hiding from people on the one hand. On the other hand, she was mortified that she couldn't let people in because she wanted company. It was that constant tug of war that she had. And we talked about it and we addressed it because I could see this was the underlying cause of her clutter problem. So we usually have one, maybe two main causes of difficulty parting with clutter. There's another one, which is really tied in. It really is a subshoot of perfectionism, the fear of making mistakes. The fear of throwing out an item that you now think you don't need and now doesn't serve any useful purpose. However, it might serve a purpose one day. And this excuse I find from a lot of my clients who are quite chronic hoarders. They use this as a latch on. I'm not going to part with anything because if I part with it, I'm going to need it. And one day I'm sure I'm going to need it and I'm going to keep it. Do you know something? How many times have I worked with clients and they've looked for items that they kept, clutter items that they kept, that they somehow needed for our session and they could never find it? Guaranteed, if your home is full of clutter, if you keep an item for that rainy day when you need it, you won't find it. I've tried it many times and my clients have. It doesn't work. 9.5 times out of 10, you won't find it. So let's get back to our point. Fear of making mistakes. Let me share this idea with you. During your cluttering journey, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to part with an item that you think now you don't need, and probably in a short while later you're going to need again. You're going to make mistakes, guaranteed, because you know what? You're not perfect. You're only a human being, and human beings are not perfect. We make mistakes. Remember, go buy it again. This is the price you pay for peace of mind. Go and buy the item again. And when you buy the item again, this is the price you are paying for that wonderful peace of mind that you're going to get when your home is going to be clutter-free. Let me share the following two stories with you. Now, seeing that you're a member of our select circle, I'll tell you the truth. They happened to me. When I share them with the public, I say they happened to a client of mine. Well, I am my own client. I'm always training myself. They happened to me. The first story is as follows. My husband is a sofer, we say in Hebrew, or in English, a scribe. He writes Jewish artifacts on parchment. Now, for some strange reason, I don't know how it happened, his high school briefcase ended up in our home. One day I was sorting through a room and I found his briefcase. It looked like a nice briefcase. It had a combination lock. It looked like it was maybe leather or leather lock, really good solid one. And I asked him, when did you use this last? He says, 20 odd years ago. I said, well, darling, are you ever going to use it again? He said, probably not, because a scribe doesn't have a briefcase. So I said, well, let's part with it. He said, okay. A few weeks later, he got a call from the Beth Din. That is the Jewish Rabbinical Council. They wanted him to train to write divorce documents. A Jewish couple, when they get married, they have a contract between them called a kesubah. Contract of how the husband is going to look after the wife and the wife's duties for the husband. When they get divorced, there's a similar contract that has to be written, and it's taken very, very seriously. If a divorced couple doesn't have that contract, which is called a get in Hebrew, there are very serious ramifications. So the Beth Din called up my husband and they said, we'd like to train you in, we need another scribe, another sofer, to write this divorce document for our team. Because it is written in the same way that it was written 2,000 years ago, the same process. So he was trained in. And then he says to me, oh, where's that briefcase? You know that briefcase? I said, hell, what briefcase? He said, well, now that I'm going to be working for the Beth Din, I need to put my work items in a briefcase. And he said that the other scribes use a briefcase. Oh, my goodness. It's in the bin a long time ago. And I told him the truth. And I said, oh, well, let's go buy another one. We looked in the Argos catalogue, it was about £90. Ouch! I phoned up the person who had trained me and I explained to her what happened. I said, my husband's a little bit upset with me. What should I do? She says, well, darling, no problem. That's the price you paid for peace of mind. Don't worry, just go and buy another one. That calmed me down. A few days later, I was in my loft looking through some stuff and I found the briefcase. Well, where did that turn up from? I was sure that I chucked it out. So that was a happy ending to our story. The next story happened to me recently. We had an extension built off our kitchen about 10 years ago. We kept all the documents for years. Then recently, which was about 10 years after this happened, recently we got a letter from the council that the electrical safety compliance certificate wasn't found amongst our documents for that extension. I thought, that's a strange thing. Why are they contacting us 10 years after our extension? That is really strange. Okay, I assumed maybe every 10 years they go through all their records and they send out letters to people if they haven't got a certain document. We searched high. we search below. All the documents pertaining to that extension were not to be found. My husband was getting a little bit upset, and I was getting like, what did I do? I was getting all flustered about it. Then I contained myself and I grounded myself, and we had the chat, and I said, you know what? How much is a new certificate? Let's just pay an electrician and go and get a new one. It's not worth the emotional turmoil. I'm human. I'm allowed to make a mistake. I'm allowed to probably either misplace it, it's hiding in some back of some cupboard, which I haven't got the papers to look through now, or it's gone. So we called an electrician, and this fella usually takes weeks and weeks to turn up. He came the same night. He came, he says, yeah, no problem, I'll just check the extension, I'll check the plugs, I'll check things, and I'll give you the certificate, £80, yeah, no problem. They were here for 2 hours on that night because there was a problem. And what was the problem? About 6 months ago, we started to notice that whenever we used a certain plug in that extension, we got little electric shocks. Well, that's strange. What's wrong? So we called in someone, and he says, no, it's fine. It's no problem. When this electrician came, he came to be able to be in and out in 5 minutes and sign the electrical compliance certificate. He said, you're in a shtuch, there's a big problem here. And he came back the next day for about 4 hours, and they couldn't find where the fault was. They had to go under the house. We had a cavity under the house. In the end, they found it, thank God. And it was a fault on those previous builders. They hadn't done something properly. And he didn't spell it out because he didn't have to, but it was pretty dangerous. So who are we to judge ourselves? We are just a small cog in the wheel of life. You make the best decision with the tools you have today. You might just want to write that down. You make the best decision with the tools you have today. Decide, act, part, chuck, move. Tomorrow, you might look back at your decision today and you might have a different opinion on what you should do. But tomorrow doesn't exist. Today exists. That's it. So set yourself a deadline when you're going to decide on parting with that item of clutter, and then act on it. How many of us are paralyzed into a state of indecision? And if we might think, oh, I'm just going to push it off. I'm just going to push it off. I'm not deciding. But when we don't decide, do you know what really happens? We don't do. We don't move forward in life. And when we don't move forward, we naturally move backwards. We move backwards further and further away from our purpose in life, from the tasks that we have to do. Let me share the following saying with you, and you might want to write this down. Einstein said, someone that never tried anything new never made mistakes. The more that you do, the more that you're going to make mistakes. This is life. If you're scared of making mistakes, you might as well sit on your couch from now till your dying day. Because we are human and we learn by actions. We learn by our mistakes. So, do you have the courage to set a deadline on that piece of clutter and decide by this time and act on it? This builds strength of character. And don't be scared that you're making the wrong decision. As long as you make the best decision with the knowledge you have today, you're doing very well. Let's talk some more about clutter. Have you ever wondered, you know, when we go out in nature, there isn't really any clutter around. God has created the world perfectly. The leaves that fall from the tree fall on the ground and they decay and they become fertilizer for the earth. Animals that die, people that die, they decompose and they go back into the earth. When we are enjoying the summertime, we're not really finding any trace of the winter berries that were on the tree, or the winter leaves, etc. Every season is contained in that season. And any rubbish, should we say, that was produced from that season gets recycled, gets reused into the environment and disappears. God made the world perfect. In the Torah, it says, go in God's ways. Going in God's ways, I like to interpret it as when we will live our life clutter-free, we are going in God's ways. And do you know what? We're going to feel balanced and harmonized and centered. One sure thing about life is moving on. We grow older. Day turns to night. Night turns to day. The weeks to months. The seasons change. When we are stuck in the past through our clutter, it holds us back. It really does. When we are stuck in the past, we can't move on. And there is this lack of balance because we are holding ourselves back, but time is bringing us forward. And there's a lack of balance, there's a lack of harmony, there's a stress, there's a pressure, there's a heaviness. My clients all tell me when they've parted with their clutter, when they only have the items that they need in their homes, they feel so light. They feel balanced and harmonized. This is what we're talking about. The next point. Every item in your home that you have that doesn't serve any purpose anymore for you is called clutter. And it weighs you down, whether you like it or not. Whether it's in your attic that you haven't seen for 30 years, whether it's in the back of a cupboard, even if you haven't thought about it, it takes up brain space. Now, pay attention to the next point. Chronic hoarders use this as an excuse to hoard. What do I mean? How many times has it happened to you? You've chucked an item in the bin, you've given it away, and then immediately or the next day, very soon after, an idea pops into your head. Oh, I know I could have used that phone. Or yeah, I need that now. Do you know what happened? Every item takes up brain space. God has his shefa, we say in Hebrew, of ideas, his bounty of knowledge and ideas and wisdom waiting to enter our heads, but it's sitting here. It can't enter because our minds are full of clutter, full of noise. When we part with an item, we have a bit more space in our mind now to think. So, it's more likely that an idea is going to pop into our minds because we've got more space. So hoarders use this as an excuse. I'm not going to part with anything because just after I parted with it, I'm going to find a use for that item. But really, it's not true. Really and truly, the more we part with our items, the more we're going to get other ideas of other uses for other items. I had this with a client when I was training with a chronic hoarder. And even on the first few sessions, from the first session, she was parting with bag loads of stuff. Imagine. She had just parted with the whole bag of kids' crafts that she couldn't bear to part with, but we had encouraged her, she didn't manage. And she had, and I always give the clients the honour of putting it in their bin. Why not? It's their hard work. They need to complete the task. So she went outside. She came back. She was beaming. I said, what's happened? She said, just after I let go of the bag and I heard it go blop in the bin, I thought of a use for this and this item. I said, look, proof, isn't it? And she was beaming. She was so excited. So actually, the more you're going to part with your clutter, the more you're going to be likely to have life success, the more you're going to be likely to have those wonderful brain flashes of inspiration because they are waiting to enter your brain, but you do not allow them to enter because of all that clutter in your home. Some people can sell their items on eBay. I have not seen any of my clients ever unearthing any major buried treasure that's worth millions of pounds. However, you can sell a lot of items on eBay if it's worth your while. I had one client, she had this unrealistic dream that all her expensive dresses she's going to sell on eBay. I worked with her for 6 months, and over 6 months she hadn't taken the photos, and she hadn't gone down to the fellow, and she hadn't done all the stuff she had to do and to sell them. It was weighing her down for 6 months that she couldn't move on. Do you want that with your life? We need to move on in life. That is the most crucial skill. Move on, and move on again. Every single item in your home speaks to you. What do I mean by this? When you pass a cupboard, and even if you don't know what's in there, even more so when you have items out, your conscious brain doesn't even see the items anymore. Your conscious brain doesn't even think about what's in that cupboard. It doesn't even think of it anymore. But your subconscious brain does. And it starts to send off a whole string of sentences and ideas that you're not even aware of. This is called the mind chatter, or the white noise that my clients call it. It's that buzz that they're constantly having in their brain, that buzz that doesn't give them peace. Once you part with your clutter, you'll find peace and harmony in your home. I had a client only with her for 2 sessions, and I could see a difference. But after the second session, I said to her, I had just entered the house and I hadn't been in the main part of the house. The house sensed different. It felt different. And I said, what's going on here? Why did the house feel different? She says, oh, for homework, I parted with 6 backpacks of stuff. The home atmosphere changes. My home is not perfect by a long shot. However, people enter my home, they tell me they sense there's a lightness in the air. They sense there's a happiness. Because, you know, all that clutter, a lot of it represents unfinished goals, dreams that were unfulfilled, past life experiences that maybe didn't go so well. And every time you pass those items, your brain subconsciously starts thinking and it starts to make you stressed. And your thoughts and the stress generates a certain energy in the air. Why is it homes that are full of clutter feel dark? Not only do they feel dark because all the items project shadows on each other, but the house feels dark and heavy from all those items, from all the clutter, from all those unfinished dreams and goals that were never met, from all that sadness, the items are heaving. If you really want to give your items, your belongings, honor, don't chuck them in a corner. Don't keep them piled up in the back of who knows where. Unearth them. Either find a use for them, chuck them in the bin, or part with them. Charity shop. The next idea. Every item that has served you usually has more than one life purpose, or tachlis, we say in Hebrew. It's meant to serve you, and it's meant to serve someone else as well. Someone else out there in the world is meant to get pleasure from that item. When you hold back and you keep it in your home, you are stopping someone else, maybe halfway around the world that you're never going to meet, from benefiting from that item. My daughter was about 12, 13 years old, and she was at that funny age when you can't find clothes yet. She's not a lady size and she's too big for children. So that year for Passover, I bought her a really nice dress. And I don't normally spend that amount on her, but we really couldn't find. She came home really excited, very happy, all over the moon. And I just planted a seed in her mind, just passing comment. That's a gorgeous outfit. But you know, by 6 months' time, you'll probably have grown out of it. I wonder who else in the world is going to benefit from that dress. And I just left it, carried on. 6 months later, when she had grown out of it, we easily parted with it because I had planted the seed in her mind. Someone else is going to benefit from it as well. And sometimes I work with my clients, we actually picture a scene of someone else enjoying that beautiful coat that she bought on impulse that never fitted her, or that gorgeous set of pots that she hates, but it's really good quality. But let someone else enjoy it, and we picture the scene of someone else using it in their kitchen, and we build on the details, and it's so much easier to part with. You're allowed to make mistakes. You're allowed to buy items that you never use. Thank you for listening. Be sure to subscribe so you are notified when a new episode is posted. If you have any questions, please send me a Facebook message or email Fagi@focuswithfagi.com. Check out the expanded video series, including this episode on read.com, the ADHD-friendly way to organize your home.
If you have learned something new, I would be so grateful if you could leave a 5-star rating and a comment. This was Feige from Focus with Feige. Focus and clarity with your ADHD.